Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the De'Longhi 2018 first quarter consolidated results presentation. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fabio De'Longhi, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the De'Longhi Group first quarter 2018 results conference call. With me, Mr. Micheli, M&A, Mr. Cenci, Chief Strategy and Control Officer, and Mr. Biella, CFO. As usual, we will begin with a few brief comments before opening the floor to a Q&A session. 2017 closed with satisfactory results in terms of growth and profitability, which were also the results of the group's increased efforts in terms of investment in innovation and communication, made it indispensable by our ambitions and accelerated growth targets. The quarter that just ended confirmed in its main lines of development the positive signs on the growth from that emerged in the second half of 2017. Revenues grew by 4.5% and 9.9% organic, driven by the espresso coffee machine segments, of which our group is the undisputed global leader. Total food preparation segment too was growing by 2% organic, led by Kenwood's kitchen machines, which grew by about 7% organic. EBITDA, EBIT, and net profits were improving in absolute value as expected. Cash generation was positive, leading to a net cash position of about 261 million euros. Therefore, we increased our confidence in our strategy as it's delivering its first results. At the same time, we want to continue strengthening our efforts on growing the market, preserving our leadership, and increasing our market shares. The first quarter has represented, as usual, only a minimal part of the A&P budget planned for the year. We have estimated that the additional resources aiming at growth for full 2018 in the order of half a percentage point on revenues, or around 10 million euros, which should help us deliver an organic growth in revenues at a mid to high single-digit pace. Alongside the positive long-term opportunities, in the short term, we have to cope with some challenging factors, such as the increase in raw material prices and the devaluation of many export currencies. We believe the group will be able to curb these negative effects by means of a selective management of product prices and factory efficiencies made possible by the ongoing investments. With this in mind, let me briefly review the quarterly results in more detail. Revenues, as said, were up by 4.5% to 402 million, after a negative exchange rate effect of 20.7 million euros, net of which organic growth would have been close to 10%. At an organic level, all geographies contributed to the robust growth of the first quarter. Southwest Europe showed a positive trend, growing by 3.6%, with a weaker picture in Germany, sorry, in Italy and France, which was offset by the robuster growth of the Swiss market, benefiting also from the distribution agreement of Nespresso machines started at the beginning of last year. Northeast Europe grew at almost a 15% rate, the only meaningful exception being the English market, still slightly negative, -4.4% nominal and -1.9% organic. The APA region, Asia, Pacific, and Americas, grew by 10.8% in organic terms. It had discounted the negative currency effects of the depreciation of all the main currencies in the area, mainly Japanese yen and Australian dollar, such as to bring the positive organic growth into negative territory, minus 1.1%. Nevertheless, in the American and Japanese markets, the group achieved a significant increase in revenues, also at nominal level, plus 6.2% and plus 11.9% respectively. Notably, North America became the number two market in quarter one for the group. Finally, positive signs in organic terms came from the Middle East, India, Africa region, which grew by 12.4%, even if the depreciation of the US dollar, which is the main currency of invoice in the area, impacted on the nominal value of sales, causing a slight decline, minus 1.5%. As for product segments, espresso coffee machines were the main driver of growth, with an increase in sales of 16.2%, plus 20.7% organic, led by the fully automatic coffee machines and the Nespresso Latissima machines. In the capsule systems segments, we also want to mention that Dolce Gusto performance was weak and negative, due also to the termination of the distribution agreement with Nestlé in certain minor markets, such as Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa. The cooking and food preparation sector decreased at a nominal level, minus 3.8%, but grew at organic level by 2%, including also the positive trend of Kenwood kitchen machines, which grew by 2.8% nominal and 7.1% organic. The gap between nominal and organic performance due to export currency devaluation was also evident in the comfort and the in-home care segments. In comfort, the drop in sales of portable air conditioners due to a different phasing of deliveries compared with last year was partially offset by the positive performance of portable heaters. In the home care, substantially flat at organic level, the organic growth of ironing products was not enough to compensate for the declining sales of floor care products. The margin trends, on the one hand, benefited from sustained organic growth, especially in the more premium product families. But on the other hand, it was affected by some pressure on certain cost categories, like raw materials and industrial and non-industrial labor, only partially diluted by the advantage of a weaker dollar. The net industrial margin amounted to 198 million, up by 3%, but slightly down as a percentage of revenues, from 49.9% to 49.2%. EBITDA, before non-recurring items and figurative costs of the stock option plan, increased from 52.5 to 53.4 million, amounting to 13.3% of revenues. Operating income rose from 38.9 million to 39.3 million, equal to 9.7% of revenues, after amortization of 13.1 million, increasing versus 12.7 million of last year. The group's net profit increased by 3.6% to 26.4 million, having also benefited from a reduction in the tax burden, mainly due to an incentive provided for by the patent box regulation. As the balance sheet, the cash flow of the first 3 months of the year was positive, equaling to 10.9 million, so bringing the net financial position from 250.6 million at the end of 2017 to a net cash position of 261.5 million. During the quarter, the group incurred industrial and non-industrial investments totaling 15.1 million and financed a net working capital absorption of 13.5 million. To this regard, and from an operating point of view, it was reasonable to expect a decrease in trade receivables due to the cash collection cycle, besides an increase in inventories due to the volume growth. At quarter end, the net working capital stood at 13.2% of 12 months rolling revenues, substantially flat versus the end of 2017, 13.1%, and slightly increasing versus 31st March of last year, 12.6%. To conclude, the results of the first quarter and the current trade are encouraging and are supporting our expectation for 2018 of an organic growth in revenues at the mid to high single digit and an increase in EBITDA in absolute value. This concludes my introduction, and now we can open the floor to questions. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Alessandro Cecchini with Equita. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody. I have some questions. The first one is about the industrial margin that was down the first quarter by roughly 80 basis points, if I am not wrong. What are your expectation for the rest of the year over the coming quarters? My second question is about how has second quarter started in term of organic growth, in particular, are kitchen machine continue on the positive trajectory that experienced in the first quarter? My third question is about M&A. Last time you said that you would been disappointed if no M&A occurs in 2018. What are your more or less confident at this time after the first 4 months of 2018? Finally, about the tax rate, if you could give us more indication about tax rate for a full year with Patent Box, including Patent Box, and of course, excluding Patent Box, so a normalized tax rate. Many thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much. The first question about industrial margin. Indeed, the industrial margin is below last year. It is due to the raw material increase and also some labor cost increase, but as well some exchange rate impact, and in some cases, some price realignment. We hope that we'll be able to improve in the next months. We still believe that we will face inflation in the second half in raw materials for approximately 1.5%. We will have also negative exchange rate, which will fade away probably in quarter four, where we will have a less demanding comparison with last year. Again, our efforts will be aimed to reduce and hopefully offset the gap. The second question about kitchen machines, we are pleased finally, we've been able to stop and change the trajectory that has been negative for the past 2 years in this very important product segment for Kenwood. The good thing is that it's been a quite strong quarter for kitchen machines with a 7% organic growth, which is great. Also, as soon as we have improved the Middle East, as I mentioned many times, and we have also stabilized the U.K., we are seeing an immediate bounce back of Kenwood, which still at organic level is growing again. I'm confident that this should translate into a trend in the near future and for the year. In terms of M&A, I'm a bit disappointed. I'm disappointed, but as I said, it's not easy to make an acquisition. We are very selective as a company. We have a history of acquisitions, but we have a history of selective acquisitions. We are not a serial buyer. We don't want to add a new brand, a new company every year, but we want to add strong brands and iconic products. We have bought Kenwood in 2001, Brown in 2012. So it's really time to go back to acquisition, also thanks to the strong financial position we have. However, we are very selective, and for the moment we have unfortunately nothing to announce. But obviously, I'm focused, the team is focused in finding good opportunities, but at the moment we have nothing to disclose. About moving to the last question, which was on the tax rate, this is we think that this is the first as a full year for with a full year of patent box benefits on our tax rate. And we think that we can have a tax rate at around 24% for this year.
Okay, so about my second question, that was about your how has the second quarter started in terms of organic growth for the whole world company? So after the very strong 10% organic growth in the first quarter, just to have a rough idea about the start of the second quarter organic growth.
Actually, we had a very strong April. April was really very strong, even stronger than the first quarter. I don't want to say that this can be a trend. Absolutely, I don't want to say so. But I'm confident that we can, on the back of our first quarter, and say our increased performance in April, I'm confident that we will post growth also in quarter two. And we think that the first 4 months have paved the way to, I think, making easier our achievability of our targets of 5 to 10% organic growth for the year.
Okay, many thanks.
The next question is from Luca Bacoccoli with Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Few questions from my side. The first one is a follow-up on the gross margin. So can you please walk us through the gross margin bridge this year over last year in terms of FX benefits and the negatives you were mentioning are raw materials and labor cost headwinds. The second one is on Southern Europe. So Italy, France, and Germany reported a soft performance. I was wondering if this is something temporary or there are more structural reasons explaining this soft trend. And the other one is on the net working capital, which still is absorbing draining cash. I was wondering if there are different terms and conditions on payables and receivable, which have changed structurally and thus explaining this high level of networking capital as a percentage of sales. And finally, my last question is on the Nespresso agreement in Switzerland, which seems to have further tailwinds, a positive effect also in 2018. Should we expect some other positive impact also in the coming quarters, or just on the first 3 months of the year that we have this positive effect? Thank you.
Thank you, Luca. So first question is about gross margin, the bridge. As said, we have a positive volume effect. We have some negative pricing due to some repositioning in certain geographies, which will probably fade away, which were already implemented in 2017. And they will probably fade away, the gap will fade away over the next quarters. We have a negative exchange rates and negative hedging, to mention a few. We have even very unexpected markets like Sweden, or we have the usual suspects like Russia or some weak currency markets, which are affecting, but we think we will implement price increases in the near future to offset this. Then we have also negative impact on gross margin to the costs, which will be also be will affect our gross margin in the next month, but we are confident that with the price increase we will pass in selected markets, we will be able to offset and hopefully neutralize all these negatives at least at EBITDA level. Mm-hmm. Second question was on the market. I was unclear during my speech. My apologies. Germany is growing. It's not a high growth, but it is growing. The negatives are coming still from Italy and from England, UK, and also France was weak for us. But excluding these three, where I don't see any structural issue, I am pretty happy about the flattening of the decrease in the UK. I'm looking forward for an improved market condition over the next months after a very difficult year, actually three very difficult years in the UK. Italy, we have some difficulties with certain customers which went through difficult financials, but I'm now positive because we see that also the new air conditioning season is kicking in stronger, and we are now more positive also in I don't want to say going back to growth in Italy, but at least having a neutral effect in the Italian market. So I'm pretty, actually, I think that I'm very happy because all regions are organically growing. I think that these signs are also encouraging. April, I said, is very strong. So I, for the moment, I don't see any risks of slowdown in the next quarter, at least. Mm-hmm. So positive for the year. With regard to net working capital, net working capital has to be higher because we are budgeting for a strong growth for the year. We have basically the first six to 8 months to build up inventories for the back quarter. There is no way we can really produce all necessary products back in the last quarter. So we are building inventories, which is perfectly in line with our ambitions. On the contrary, there is some increase also in our credits and receivables. But this is also due to the increased turnover, because we have to finance growth. Maybe we are growing also in geographies where we have a longer payment term, but this is not due to a structural worsening of conditions. It's probably due to some geographic mix in some cases. The fourth question is about Switzerland. And Nespresso indeed was very strong. This year, our expectations, our ambitions on Nespresso are very high. We think we can outpace our competitors again, thanks to the very encouraging signs of the launch of Latissima One. This is probably the first full year for Latissima One, and we are really experiencing a nice growth, and we have an expectation for another strong year with Nespresso, thanks to the Latissima launch.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Anna Patrice with Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Thank you for the information already provided. A couple of questions from my side. If you can provide the same bridge that you gave for the gross margin, but for the EBITDA, or was it pretty much the same issues? I would like to understand how the investment in marketing played out, and if we should expect further increase in absolute and relative terms in the marketing expenses. Another question, you said that the food preparation was up 2%, but kitchen machines were up 7%. If we make a quick calculation, it means that the rest of the business was down, but that should also include the Braun, which should benefit from the expansion. So if you can comment on the Braun development, what is the growth rate? How does it perform? What are the best performing countries and where it needs to be improved? And on the coffee segment, amazing top-line growth, can you say how much was driven by the Nespresso new contracts and the increase in the U.S. versus full automated coffee machine and the rest? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Aunt Patricia. So basically, on the EBITDA bridge, as similarly to the bridge I discussed and disclosed on gross margin, we have a very strong volume effect, positive, slightly negative price, as I said, some repositioning in certain geographies back already in 2017, which will probably get better during 2018 in the second half. Negative exchange rates and negative hedging, slightly. Slightly higher costs, slightly, and then we have other costs, other effects like non-industrial labor and other services, which are slightly negative. AMP, as said, we are witnessing a phenomenal performance of coffee. I think it's really the time for us to increase our investments, our efforts in coffee. I think also the performance in quarter one is the result of our increased investment in quarter four 2017. Is a long tail. So for us, it is really necessary to continue to invest. As said during the last conference call, we want to increase our investment in advertising of approximately 10 million euro, hopefully even more, because now I'm really more bullish than before about the potential of our coffee business, which is growing now at a 20% organic, which is probably our best performance ever, and considering that we are also at the highest sales level, now coffee is very close to 50% of total group sales. We feel that it's time to continue and accelerate. We want to invest at least 10 million euro more in advertising in the second part of the year, in the last three quarters, and mainly probably in quarter three and quarter four. With regard to food preparation, you're right. We have some negatives in food preparation. One is Braun on hand blenders. I have to remind that we had a very strong first quarter last year in with Braun, because we were rolling out with a new blender range, hand blender range. So we had all the the feeling in the market with the new products in the first quarter. So we had a very tough comparison, but I feel confident now with the signs that we should continue our growth in the food preparation in the next quarters, maybe with a more balanced performance between hopefully between kitchen machines and the rest of food preparation. And the fourth question was about coffee. In reality now, United States was already launched during the first quarter slightly of 2017. And also I think Switzerland, we were already starting deliveries. Obviously we get some benefits from the new acquired markets such as Switzerland and the United States, but most of the growth is coming from our organic growth, where particularly with Latissima, which is really very strong in the first 3 months, and we expect to have a very strong year for Latissima, and also the continued successful rollout of our strategy in Fully Auto. So I would say most of the growth is definitely coming from organic growth, not from newly acquired markets from Nespresso.
Thank you. And on the coffee, in which regions do you see the highest growth right now and the most growth potential in the future? And on brown, given that I thought, to be honest, that you have significant expansion potential in the US, in China, recovery in European markets, how do you see the rest of the year developing? Was the decline in Q1 rather temporal issue, or was the brand not very well positioned? Is there something be fixed?
Okay, but brown is not declining organic. We have an organic growth in brown in the first quarter. A low single-digit organic growth at brown. We have a decline limited to, say, some specific markets like China, which was a stronger growth market for us last year, so we have a tough comparison. I think that for brown this year, we can expect organic growth in the low single digit. I expect, as I said, the group, I hope the group can deliver a high single digit growth. Most of the growth will come from coffee. I think that on top of that, we will have organic growth also coming from Kenwood and Brown, maybe at low single digit. Hopefully with a better performance of kitchen machines, which are at the core of our strategy.
Thank you.
The next question is from Andrea Bonfa with Banca Akros. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you for taking my question. The first one is, let's say, a strategic one related to the agreement of Nestlé with Starbucks. If you think in the medium to long term can be an opportunity for you. And the second one is another generic question related to your agreement with Nespresso for the distribution of coffee machine, looking at the termination of the agreement on the Dolce Gusto side. If you can recap for us what are your, let's say, legal agreement or commercial agreement with Nespresso, and in particular, what are the risks that Nespresso can terminate the agreement with you and going out on their own basis, developing their own distribution network or even their own machine. I know it's a very very drastic scenario, but just I recap from your side. Thank you very much.
Well, the first question obviously is a question that we should address the Nestlé CEO and team. I have spoken with Nestlé in the past days, obviously they are still very reluctant to to outline what is the potential of the new agreement, as also the agreement is under scrutiny of antitrust and will hopefully be concluded by year end. So with something we will. In brief, I think that for us is we hope the deal goes through, as we think that Nestlé will be a stronger player in a much broader product range and with a stronger brand portfolio, particularly in North America and in Asia Pacific. And specifically, will increase its presence in beans and powder. So this will open, I think, De'Longhi being the number one partner of Nespresso in the world, both in value and volume. I think this deal will is very exciting for us. Will open the door to new business opportunities, new potential of growth. Obviously, but this is beyond my knowledge at this time, as very, very few limited details have been so far disclosed by Nestlé on the deal. The second point is a good question. I think that actually, I see different risks for De'Longhi in Nespresso and Dolce Gusto. With Nespresso, we have, I would say, never lost a market, if we exclude a couple of very small markets like Singapore and Hong Kong, which were very small many years ago. And we have grown our distribution in very strategic markets for Nestlé. We have added Switzerland last year and United States last year. And we performed really very well. And so I think that indeed they might decide in the future to go direct, which is exactly the opposite they're doing today, because they were going direct in the United States last year. And they've decided to partner up with De'Longhi, and they have achieved record results last year in the United States. So I think really that I think there are very limited risks that this might happen. On the contrary, I think with Dolce Gusto, we have some smaller markets. So I'm not speaking about Italy or Austria or Germany, or Spain, which are the or UK, the key markets, in some geographies where Dolce Gusto was still very small, they've decided we have decided together to say to walk apart, to separate, and they're going direct. But this is a mutual consensual decision, as we were not very performed with our performance with Dolce Gusto. They were not very performed of their results. And in the end, we have walked away. But we don't see risk in the core market for De'Longhi with Dolce Gusto.
Thank you very much. Very helpful.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is a follow-up from Alessandro Cecchini with Equita. Please go ahead.
Hello, just a very quick follow-up on pricing. So that's basically during the last conference call, you stated clearly that you want not to limit at max price hikes. Now it seems you are talking about more about price increases. I would like to better understand this point, and of course I think that this is connected with the more adverse scenario in terms of raw material and forex, and if you are seeing some your competitors that are doing the same or will do the same. Thank you.
We will not implement price increases in continental Europe, for instance, in the Eurozone. We are now considering implementing price increases in selective geographies where the local currency devaluated, and we want to preserve our profitability. The scenario is unchanged or just slightly changed. We will really deliver selective price increases in selective geographies. And we are not speaking about huge price increase. I think we'll probably, between around 10 million euros should be sufficient to cover the needs to offset the increased costs that we will suffer in the next three quarters.
Okay, so I mean, are you talking about both forex and some raw material? Just with this.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So basically, you don't see a big changes in terms of raw material versus last conference call that happened few months ago.
1%, 1 to 1.5%
of inflation on raw material. Okay. Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Luca Bacoccoli with Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking the follow-up. Just a quick one. Is on the online channel. If you could please tell us what the percentage of sales are realized on the online channel, and if the profitability on this channel is similar or probably lower than the traditional channel, and finally, who is the largest customer? If I'm not wrong, maybe Amazon was the biggest client for you. Thanks.
Well, it's not easy as very often the same customers may sell throughout their brick and mortar organization or throughout their web channel. Our assumption, I guess, is now that between 20 and 25% of our revenues are from web sales. And generally speaking, the conditions with the web players are not worse than the brick and mortar ones. So it's not really dilutive.
Okay, and what was the percentage, let's say, 2 or 3 years ago?
Okay, probably we're increasing at the pace of 20% year on year. But it may vary a lot from geography.
Okay.
UK is very developed. Germany also is developing very rapidly for certain product categories. Maybe it's going less in certain others in Germany. Italy is very much behind, although it's growing. Spain also is maybe below average. And China is strong. China is really very strong. Russia is still very small, still very, very small. So it really is a very fragmenting, complex scenario where, just to make throw numbers, I think between 20 and 25% is total revenues from the web, but including pure players and brick and mortar web sites.
So overall, can we say that the online channel is more an opportunity for you rather than a threat?
It's an opportunity. I mean, this is the future. We have to cope to deal with. And it's not a threat. It's not a threat too much because I believe that De'Longhi has a very strong limited. Narrow brand portfolio, which will help roll out our strategy on the web. And also sales are coming from a selected number of products rather than a vast array of minor products. I think in the web, in the future, the iconic brands, the stronger products, and the leading companies will probably outperform the smaller players, which were maybe surviving and thriving, maybe just because of some retail decisions and specific niches in some local markets.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Anna Patrice with Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, a couple more questions from my side. First, on the gross margin, what are the expectations for the gross margin as the year progresses? So if you carry out the selective price increases, the foreign exchange seems to be stabilizing a little bit towards the end of the year, and it seems like the product mix is rather positive for you. Should we also expect stabilizing, maybe slightly improving gross margin, or that will be too optimistic as a scenario? That's one question. And the second question on the M&A. As Spectrum brands are looking to sell the domestic appliances business, would you consider to go a bit low value end, but to get the distribution in the new countries? Or would you rather prefer still to go to the bit more premium brand for the M&A? Thank you.
Okay. On gross margin, as I said, I don't want to overpromise. I think that now we have a slightly negative on gross margin. Our efforts will be to offset the gross margin negative impacts we have seen in the first quarter. I'm confident that we will deliver some improvements, and but I cannot promise that we will fully compensate for that. But the goal is to offset. On M&A, I don't want to comment specifically on Spectrum, as I don't want even to create any harm or on a possible Spectrum transaction in the near future. In general, I think that if we think of U.S. as a market, I think that there are not many high-end brands available in the United States. So an acquisition in the U.S. will definitely be probably in a more mainstream arena, with maybe a more mid-average price point segment, not really premium, not many premium brands available there. Obviously, we are selective. We like the premium brands. We like the better products. But maybe for the U.S., we can probably try to let's say to look for a brand that is well known, and which maybe can help us in expanding the customer base on which we can further develop our high-end brands.
Understood. Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. There is a follow-up question from Anna Patrice with Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. If we go back to the coffee segment, you said that the underlying markets are very strong. Can you just maybe highlight what are the regions where you see the highest contribution to your sales of coffee machines? And on Braun, if you can highlight which countries are doing better and which are not as good in terms of the Braun growth and what could be improved. Thank you.
Sorry, the first question is about the margins by.
No, the first question was on the coffee, on the coffee growth. Which countries contribute the highest growth contribution? So basically, okay, some countries are growing double digits, but those are small countries, right? So their contribution to the overall coffee growth for you is not as meaningful. But what are the big countries that also have above average growth that contribute quite nicely to your their growth in this segment?
Okay, no, coffee machines, specifically on coffee machines, the growth rate is strong in all geographies, even in more mature markets. We have a strong growth in all north and east region, but also strong growth in south and west region, really very strong also in markets like, for instance, Germany is not growing very rapidly as a total market, but we have a strong performance, for instance, there in fully automatic coffee machines, and so we are very pleased with that. And we're growing also in the Middle East and in Asia Pacific. So all regions are contributing positively to the coffee machine performance.
Thank you. And on Braun?
On Braun, I really don't want to disclose too much on detail by brand, by geography. I have to say that I think maybe below average or below expectation performance of Braun, which is again still delivering organic growth, maybe it's due to a slower quarter in China, but again I have to say that last year we had a very compelling comparison as we were in the rollout of the Braun new hand blender range, also with a reinforced marketing plan.
And in the U.S., how is Braun developing in the U.S.?
In the U.S., we have, I think, a twofold performance on Braun. The question is on Braun. We are happy about the coffee performance of Braun, and we are, as already mentioned, disappointed by the liquidizer and the jug blender performance, which has not met our expected result, and also we understood we learned more from consumer requirements, and we will probably relaunch a new range in the near future. But as I said, we're happy about the coffee results, and we are unhappy about the jug blender or liquidizer performance.
Thank you.
Mr. DeLonghi, there are no more questions registered at this time.
As there are no more questions, I want to thank you all for attending the DeLonghi first quarter 2018 conference call. Bye.